Let's turn now in the scriptures to Leviticus and chapter 21. Leviticus 21, we'll read verses 1 through 24. In Leviticus chapter 21, starting in verse 1, give your attention now to the reading of God's Word. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say to them, 'No one shall defile himself for a dead person among his people, except for his relatives who are nearest to him, his mother and his father and his son and his daughter and his brother. Also for his virgin sister who is near to him because she has had no husband. For her he may defile himself. He shall not defile himself as a relative by marriage among his people and so profane himself. They shall not make any baldness on their heads nor shave off the edges of their beards nor make any cuts in their flesh. They shall be holy to God, to their God, and not profane the name of their God. For they present the offerings by fire to the Lord, the food of their God, so they shall be holy. They shall not take a woman who is profaned by harlotry, nor shall they take a woman divorced from her husband, for he is holy to his God. You shall consecrate him, therefore, for he offers the food of your God. He shall be holy to you, for I, the Lord, who sanctifies you, am holy. Also, the daughter of any priest, if she profanes herself by harlotry, she profanes her father. She shall be burned with fire. The priest who is the highest among his brothers, on whose head the anointing oil has been poured, and who has been consecrated to wear the garment, shall not uncover his head nor tear his clothes. Nor shall he approach any dead person, nor defile himself even for his father or his mother. Nor shall he go out of the sanctuary, nor profane the sanctuary of his God. For the consecration of the anointing oil of his God is on him. I am the Lord. He shall take a wife in her virginity, a widow, or a divorced woman, or one who is profaned by harlotry. These he may not take, but rather he is to marry a virgin of his own people, so that he will not profane his offspring among his people, for I am the Lord who sanctifies him." Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron, saying, 'No man of your offspring throughout their generations who has a defect shall approach to offer the food of his God. For no one who has a defect shall approach, a blind man or a lame man or he who has a disfigured face or any deformed limb or a man who has a broken foot or a broken hand or a hunchback or a dwarf or one who has a defect in his eye or eczema or scabs or crushed testicles. No man among the descendants of Aaron the priest who has a defect is to come near to offer the Lord's offsprings by fire, since he has a defect. He shall not come near to offer the food of his God. He may eat the food of his God, both of the most holy and of the holy. Only he shall not go into the veil or come near the altar because he has a defect, so that he will not profane my sanctuaries. For I am the Lord who sanctifies them.'" So Moses spoke to Aaron and to his sons and to all the sons of Israel. Those are God's words. So this chapter is much like how Malachi 2:1 begins, and it says, "And now, O priests, this command is for you." This chapter is commands for the priests, for their very important care to preserve the dignity of the priesthood and the cleanliness, cleanness of the sanctuary. And so there are laws in the first 9 verses of the lower Levitical priests, those priests that are not the high priest, and how to deal with the death of their loved ones and marriage and children and things like that. But then through verse 15, there's laws for the high priest, which would bring greater sacrifices to one's life in his marriage and dealing with the death of loved ones. And so verses 1 through 15, we have a principle of those in leadership in the church for worship, are that they are held to a higher standard. It's the same thing we see today, James 3:1. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. And the priest showing that forth, they weren't able to marry certain people or deal with their loved ones when they died and things like that. And then the rest of the passage is about Aaron's descendants, so all the Levitical, all the Levites, that none who have any physical blemishes or defects should serve as a priest in the sanctuary. And the reason is given in verse 23 at the end, so that he will not profane my sanctuaries, for I am the Lord who sanctifies them. And so he's really saying only those who have no defects can serve in the sanctuary for the worship of God's people. And yet, what do we know? We know that they all, every single one, had defects. Hebrews 7, verse 28 says, "For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests." Hebrews 5:2, speaking of the high priest, he can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. And so there's no one who was without defects or blemishes. All had spiritual blemishes and defects. All had sin. And all have sin. Therefore, this mediation described of these priests between God and the people was flawed in a way. And that was why the perfect high priest had to come, Jesus Christ, after the order of Melchizedek. One of a different order and a different person. Hebrews 7 again says, "For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weakness as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son, who has been made perfect forever." So Christ is the perfect high priest who offered the perfect sacrifice himself to save all who believe on him from their sins. And so we are called here again in Leviticus to come unto him for our life and for that mediation that we need between God and us. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the very fact that Christ now intercedes for us. And He prays for us, pleads for us. And You hear all of His prayers and You answer with yes and amen. And Father, we ask that You would hear Him. We ask that You would hear our prayers through Him. He would, our prayers would be perfected and become in accordance with Your will perfectly. And that You would hear all our prayers and answer according to Your great plan and decree in accordance with Your love and graciousness and mercy towards us, Your people. Now, Father, we are thankful that You are a mighty God. And perhaps today we will see that more so as it has to do with the weather. We pray that You would keep us safe. We pray that You will keep our home safe and our property safe, Father, and all who are within Your church safe, that You would protect Your children. And Father, if that is not to be, if that is not according to Your will, we ask that Your will would be done and that we, in response, would glorify You and praise You and thank You for Your goodness and mercy, and yet mourn with those who mourn. And Father, we also pray for our governing leaders and ask for their salvation, pleading for it that You would grant to us a love of submitting to You as You call us to submit to them. And I pray that they would make godly biblical laws based on the principles of Scripture for the good of mankind, but also for the good of Your church. Father, we pray that tomorrow The reception service will can be able to be had despite the weather, and that it would be a great blessing to us moving forward, and also for those who join us. We pray that there would be blessed fellowship, and that you would have for us in the RPCNA many, many more years to celebrate your goodness to us. We pray that you'll provide more families to our church, for that is our main prayer request, more families. We pray that you would use whatever means necessary in bringing that about, even our going out and inviting people in and evangelizing and bearing testimony of your truth of the gospel. Father, we do not just desire transfers from other churches. We desire unbelievers to be saved and be brought into your kingdom, that they would praise your name and bow the knee to you, just as you have made us to bow the knee to you. And yet, Father, we acknowledge that often we are found not bowing the knee, just like all the Levitical priests in their sin. So we continue in our sin. Father, we have broken your commandments, all of them. We have not loved you. We have not loved our neighbor as we ought to in our thoughts and our words and our actions, even our emotions. Father, we ask that you would forgive us of our sins, and that you would sanctify our hearts, that you would mortify by your Spirit, mortify the deeds of the flesh, and that you would put on and clothe us with the righteousness of your Son, Jesus Christ. That is our only hope, to serve you well and in this life, by your mercy and grace. Father, we ask as we also pray, we ask for healing to Dina and Jeannie, and pray that most of us here, all of us here today, are doing well in our health. We pray that you will continue that for many years to come. And also pray for Patricia. She leaves Tuesday morning. Pray that she would have a safe flight and her travel would be a blessing to her and her family. Father, we ask that you would continue, as we continue in worshiping you, that you will bless us, your people, through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.